A public park. The Internet, 1996 World Exposition. A World's Fair for the Information Age.
Step Roy, a graduate student in the MIT Media Lab, traveled to Calcutta during the most recent Durga Puja. While there, he interviewed Dr. Dilip Kumar Roy, a physician with an interest in palmistry. Dr. Roy explains how he learned the basics of palmistry watching his father and ponders whether there is a scientific basis for this ancient art.
Where did you learn about palmistry?
Well, I am a medical graduate, so this is not my subject. But I got interested in palmistry at a very young age when I saw my father, who was a very well-known palmist and astrologer, seeing hundreds of people every month practically. People were coming to him to have their fortunes read and futures told.
Where did he learn?
Well, he got interested in astrology and palmistry at a young age when he was a college student. And he read Sanskrit literature on this subject, and as well as he read Western literature, Kiro being one of them. So he studied both Eastern and Western methods of astrology and palmistry, and so it was his hobby, and whole life he pursued this hobby, and very successfully too. I mean, he didn't earn anything out of it, but he was a very popular man because of these qualities.
He combined Eastern and Western methods?
Actually, he took things from both the methods. Certain things he felt were more positive in Western methods and more advanced, rather, especially in palmistry. Whereas astrology, the Eastern method was much more accurate, according to him. By sitting by his side, I saw him practicing these things, so most of my knowledge comes from what I heard from him. And after that, I read a bit, but basically it was a practical experience from my father.
So who were the patients who would come?
People who would come to my father were of varied range. They will come by reputation. You see, some people would come to know if their daughter were going to be married in time. Some people would come to know about their promotions. Some people would come to know whether they'll get married at all. Middle-aged people would come to find out whether they'll get married or they'll remain a bachelor all their life. And then there were sickly people who would come to know if they'll get cured of their chronic illnesses. And matchmaking in India, before marriages, the horoscopes, you know, this is astrological, of course, were compared of the boy and the girl, and if they do not match, the marriage doesn't take place. I mean, so this sort of thing used to come a lot, because it's marriage is by negotiation. So both the sides do not know much about the other side family, so they depend a lot on this horoscopes to find out whether they are matching temperament and all that. So that was a very frequent cause for people to come to my father.
What is the relation between palmistry and astrology?
What I found was that palmistry is more broad. You see, it doesn't give you very accurate detail about time of an incident. It gives a broad picture of your personality and your traits and some landmarks in your life of certain promotions or achievements. It's more of that nature. It doesn't give accurate detail that when you'll achieve this, when you'll achieve that. But in astrology, if the timing of your birth is correctly noted, astounding results can be achieved. For example, telling exactly on the 3rd of March of such and such year, there is a probability of your falling sick, or by the end of this month, you are definitely going to have some promotions or some good news. So astrology can do that, whereas palmistry cannot do that.
Did you learn both?
I didn't learn much of astrology because it required a lot of reading and calculations and all that. So being a doctor, I thought that I'll learn it later after my retirement, which I didn't do. But palmistry was easy because I was sitting by his side and he was saying palms and telling and explaining to me sometimes. Sometimes I used to ask. So no, I am not not at all knowledgeable on astrology.
Can you summarize your method, the method you learned for reading palms?
Well, for reading palms also there are two methods. One is the Eastern method and the other is the Western. In Eastern method, the main lines of the palm are designated in a different way than the Western method. But I depended more on Western method, Kiro's method to be more accurate. And the main lines in the palm, the shape of the palm, the shape of the fingers, their flexibility, the color of the palm, and the mounds. These were things which were considered in the Western method.
I think everyone thinks of lines when they think of reading palms. As kind of, is that the dominant feature you look at, or are the others equally important?
The whole total thing is important because you cannot neglect the personality of the person you are, whose palm you are examining. First you look at the general palm, I mean its shape and the fingers, and this gives you, and the, especially the thumb, it gives you a lot of information about the person's nature, his natural inclinations and natural aptitudes. And then, of course, for details, you depend more on the major lines and the branches and smaller lines that are there.
What can you tell from a thumb?
From the shape of the palm, you know, there are different types of shapes, but basically we can differentiate between the people who are more theoretical or intellectual, you see, who deal more with theories and less with practical. This is one dominant character. And then the other side is people who are more practical, who works with their hands. Of course, medically also there will be some impression of people working with hands, but in palmistry it is more refined way you can understand it. For example, the shape of the thumb and the ability to flex the thumb, the different joints, that gives you information about the person's personality, stamina, his determination, and these sort of things. As regards the lines, you know, there are basically three major lines. One is called the lifeline. One is the middle one is the brain line. The upper one is the heart line. So the lifeline gives you an indication of the length of your span of your life on an average. It also gives information about the landmarks in your career. If you achieve something very important to you, there will be some lines on your lifeline, and there are supporting lines to the lifeline which indicate that even if you are having problems with your health, they will do something to defend you so that ultimately you come out of it. And if the line is not very clear, if it is composed of small chains and things like that, that will indicate that you will have health problems, I mean at that particular period. And you can also divide the lifeline into certain parts and find out when are the particular incidents occurring and which part of your life. As regards the brain line, it's very important because it indicates the type of your intellectual inclination as well as capacity. Because some brain lines show very fine branches, which indicates ability for research work and things like that. And some brain lines again show chains, which indicates that there may be some brain problems of various natures in your life. And then there's the distance between the lifeline and brain line at the beginning and near the thumb. That also indicates the nature of your approach to life, whether you are a daring person, you will take risks or not, or you are a very conservative person who will go very in a conservative way in life without taking any risks. And then comes the heart line, which of course indicates also the nature, if you are an affectionate type, you're a very trusting type, or you are rather more concerned about your own self and not others, like that. And then there's success line, marriage line, lines for overseas travel, and things like that.
You've been listening to the Internet 1996 World Exposition. Building a public park for the global village. This has been a production of the Internet Multicasting Service and Becknell and Lucas. Your host was Deb Roy.